known. He's been there for me many, many, many times. He's been there for me in my life. I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Give God a hand of praise. He's good. He's good. All the time. All the time. He's mighty, mighty good. I thank the choir for coming down, and they know that I like to preach to the choir as well as the audience. So we thank God for that. Most of all, we thank God for this opportunity. I have to preach. I have to preach. I have to preach. Paul says, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been called by any name of Jesus, you want to preach. And I thank my pastor for allowing me to say a word on each fifth Sunday. That's what it's all about. I got a word for you. And God got a word for you. He gave it to me. I thank all of you for coming, especially from seeing my sweetheart, Joanne. I love to see her when she come from Maryland. She inherited the Holy Spirit right here. And she took it to Maryland, and she still got it. Oh, I like that. I like that. You don't lose it when you go somewhere. That's something you don't lose. You know, it can rain on you and you still got the Holy Spirit. It can shower on you, thunder on you, tornado, whatever. You still got the Holy Spirit. How many of you got it? How many of you got it? I want to... preach the word from Hebrews 5:11-14. This Memorial Day, I'm not going to preach about memorializing. We realize that Memorial Day is more than we normally make of it. It's a time to remember those who have given in the ultimate sacrifice for our nation and all those who have served in the Army or Navy or Armed Forces also, and they're alive, with memorialize them. I want all the people to stand up that have served in the Armed Forces. Please stand. Look at how many. God bless you. God bless you. We thank you. Thank you for your service. And it's not one that God takes lightly, because God loves our nation. I say that over and over again. Trump say he's going to make the nation great again. I was born in 1942 into a great nation. I'm now 73 years old, and it's still a great nation. And so I don't need to make it great. It's always great. Hebrews 5:11-14, from the King James Version, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. I want you to listen carefully to what Paul is saying here. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what?
Milk.
And not of what? Strong meat. You have become, Paul said, at one need of milk, not of strong meat. But for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a what? A babe. A babe in the word of Jesus Christ. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who try, who by reason or use that have their senses exercised to deserve both good and evil. Come move this upon me. Now, please remain standing. That's the way Paul said it. It was translated in the 14th century by King James from the Greek language to the American language that was spoken at that time. Now, I want to read this from the translation of the NIV, and you'll get it much plainer. We have much to say to you about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. That's a tough word. A tough word, Paul is saying. He's saying, in fact, though, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the nature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish God good from evil. You are neither grown, but you are a baby in the gospel. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I love this scripture. I know you've heard it time and time again, that you are on milk and not on what? Meat. And there's a lot of people in this church, in anybody's church, that should be on milk and meat, but they are still on milk. Now, everybody loves babies. Everybody loves babies. It's hard to find someone who does not love babies. If he is, he's an infidel. I don't often hear people say, oh, they just grow up too fast. I saw that on many Facebook comments about our children who were graduating. And they grew up too fast. I remember when they were little babies, and now they are grown adults, and they are now graduating from high school. They are constantly growing and they are constantly learning. No child who goes to school at kindergarten or pre-K comes out of 12th grade, listen now, with the same amount of knowledge that he entered school. If he did, there's something wrong with our school system. When he goes in, he doesn't know 1 + 1 = 2. When he graduates, he ought to know that 1 + 1 = 2. In other words, he learns something during the 12 years of training. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I know Linda and I having a great time watching our good-looking, brilliant, healthy, sweet, adorable, did I say good-looking, grandchildren graduate from high school. Anyway, we are watching them, our children grow up from daycare, pre-K, kindergarten, elementary, middle school, and then high school, and then college. But notice they are growing in age and in knowledge. Say that, age and knowledge. In other words, they're not growing just older. They're growing older and growing knowledgeable. But notice that they are not saying the same. Listen to this. The real shame is when a baby doesn't grow up. We start to worry if a baby is slow to learn. That also is the first sign of spiritual trouble. In 5:11, it says that we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. You are slow to learn. Look at the next verse to see all about how spiritual babies look. Now, we're going to, first of all, look at how spiritual babies look. Now, I'm talking to you. For one thing, spiritual babies keep jibber-jabbing, much of baby talk, long after they should have outgrown it. Even after years of being Christian, they still can't articulate their faith to anyone. In fact, these fat little babies are still drinking milk on the back seat of the church. Amen. And they should be eating steak. And they expect someone else to feed them when they should be able to feed themselves. Oh, glory. People come to church to be fed. I don't mind that. But you ought to go away feeding yourself. Amen. Another problem with spiritual babies is that they are clueless when it comes to right and wrong. In their mind, little minds, they can't be held responsible if they do something wrong. After all, they are just babies. They are not responsible for what they are doing wrong. Well, it's easy to spot a baby unless you are the baby yourself. So take a minute for a personal inventory. How is your ministry level looking? I'm going to ask some questions. Don't want you to answer them out. Just answer them to yourself. Are you able to talk about your faith in Christ to somebody? Have you moved past the basic of Christianity, meaning I've been baptized? Many people, 40 years, they've been baptized, and they're still at the same place when they got baptized. Are you learning deeper truth? You know, a preacher like me, Larry Davidson, and many of us, well, all of us, when we preach a sermon from the same scripture year after year, we learn something different. Every time we open that scripture, it's amazing there's something different. Do you study God's word on your own? Or do you wait for someone else to feed you? Do you have a base, you base your moral choices on God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit? Or are you looking for someone else to give you a list of rules that you can follow without having to think for yourself. Now, that's why the children of Israel loved the Ten Commandments, because that was the list they had to follow. And throughout Leviticus and Deuteronomy, God gave them a list of things to follow. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We want those thou shalt not right now. But Jesus said, no, I ain't going to give you no thou shalt not. You love your neighbor as yourself. That's wow. Now, what else? Is there anything else we say? He says all encompassing in that word that I gave you. Love your neighbor as yourself, and you can get rid of all the Ten Commandments. You don't need a list. Growing up as a Christian is no small matter. Hebrews doesn't pull any punches when it describes the kind of damage spiritual babies can do in a church. They can do it real quick in a church. Now, what spiritual babies do? Now, we looked at how spiritual babies look. Now, what do they do? Hebrews 6, 4, and 8 say that. Hebrews 6, I'm going back to the chapter. Hebrews 6, 4 through 8 said, it is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of God of the coming age, if they fall away. Now, this is tough to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Now, this is a harsh warning, and many people don't want to believe it. Look at it from the Bible. You can pick up the plow, and you can turn your back on it, and it says, it's impossible. I didn't say that. It said, it's impossible if you turn your back on God for us to bring you back. Now, that's a word that we all need to know. We don't need to ever turn our back on God. You know, Job never did turn his back on God. Job questioned God. We have a right to question God. Job said, why me, Lord? Why me? Why me? I give to the poor. I gave to everybody else. I live a clean life. I taught my children how to live a clean life. But you have inflicted me with all these troubles. But he did not turn his back on God. He said, though they slay me, yet shall I what? Yes, shall I trust him? That's where you need to be, in your body and in your spirit. Now, when a preacher says that you can turn away from God, they say, well, once you've been saved, always saved. No, you got to be saved first. You got to be saved. Say that, I'm saved. I'm saved. Many people who say they're saved are not saved. It's a hard word. But many people who get baptized go down a dry devil and come up a wet devil. That's the way it is. Many people give their life to Christ because of their mother, their father, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, and they are really not saved. That's why Paul said, you need to grow in the gospel. God said, Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and what? None of me. You got to come to Sunday school. Uh-oh. You got to come to Wednesday night Bible class. You hear me? I know you don't want to hear that. You're here and you're not going. That's what Paul said. You're not able to understand what I have to tell you because you are not going. Many people in this church, when I came here in 1978, are still at the same stage they were in 1978. Thank God, though, there's a whole lot that have grown in those years. A whole world wouldn't be what it is today if it had not been for those who came to Wednesday night Bible class, came to Sunday school religiously, and learned of the word of God. We need to go. It's not like you're going to end up in hell. Now, losing your salvation does not mean that you do it in the day. Oops, now I put my salvation down. I had an English teacher in ninth grade. She was a black belt. And Mrs. Lutz, I'll never forget. When she got mad and the children acted up, she said, don't make me go back to the door and lay my religion down and come back in here. And they shut up during that time. But it's not like that. We can't lay our salvation down and then pick it up. We're not talking about a person who merely made a mistake or commits a sin. We're not talking about that person. All of us make mistakes. Show me a perfect man, and I'll show you a man lying in a casket. That's the only way you will be perfect when you get to heaven. That's the way it is. You are not saved 1 minute and lost the next. It's not like you're going to end up the day and think that you are unsaved. Here, we're talking about people who are making a choice for God, then willfully turn against God. The writer of Hebrews used phrases that show this person was connected to God at some point. They were enlightened, he said. You were enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift and shared in the Holy Spirit. They tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age. Now, you see some people come to church for years, and then all of a sudden they drop out. Paul is talking about them. He's saying, a person who sat on the teaching have tasted the word of the Holy Spirit, and then they spit out. This is a hard sermon, not a shouting sermon. It's about going. It's about going. But after all, that they fall away. In other words, they came to know Jesus personally, but in the end, they turned their back on the crucified Savior. In fact, they actually crucified him all over again. Things is dangerous. This is dangerous for a Christian who fails to grow up. Now, listen to this well. You see, growing is not just an option for a Christian. Growing is the definition of a Christian. A Christian should grow to be like Christ. It is take on my yoke and learn of me. It is a transformation. It is a metamorphosis. You ever saw that term? In fact, a word that is commonly used today describes how a Christian goes. It is called morph. Morph is a term used by computer enthusiasts for melding two images into one. We do that very well when we come to church. We have an image for Monday through Saturday, and then we morph into the image of a Christian on Sunday. Hello. You can actually buy a software package program to morph two images together into one. Sometimes that can be comical, but how many of us really expect that every Christian will morph into the image of Christ? Oh, that's what I want to be. I want to morph into the image of Christ. Think about that. If you are Christ-like, you'll need to look like Christ. John Oakenberg tells a man in a church, he once pastored, he said, whom he called Denny. This man was called Denny. And he said, Denny was not a happy man. He had attended church his whole life, but he had never been happy. One day, the pastor came to him and said, Denny, are you really happy? Denny said, oh, yeah, pastor. Then the pastor said, then tell your face that. So it was short. You ought to be able to show you that you're happy. Not come to church and look like you're sucked on a sour grape. Amen. I'm preaching now. This is high on grit. Now, one of the many things Denny did not approve of was contemporary music in the church. Hello. We are there. He often complained that the music was too loud. You heard that when we got took off in Hopewell? When we got drums and when we had Sam on the keyboard and Lamar on the keyboard and somebody was on the organ then, and we were loud. We were blasting that little church out of there. You know what? Loud. We were loud. And so that's the way he saw the music. He saw the music as too loud. So he often complained about the music. Doesn't that sound familiar? But no one realized how far Denny would go until one day, one Sunday, a person showed up at the church's office during service, and that was the OSHA inspector. He said, somebody ordered an investigation, a complaint, about someone had made about the level of the noise in the church. It exceeded the decibel range for the area. So, of course, it was Denny who had registered the complaint. The staff could only laugh, and the agent only joined them. But actually, Denny's attitude is no laughing matter. Listen to John Ober when he said this about Denny. Denny is not changing. He's a cranky guy. He had been cranky his whole life, not just about church. He does not effectively know how to love his wife. His children cannot tolerate him, and he has no joy. He's been going to church all his whole life, 60 years, and nobody in the church is surprised that he stays cranky year after year. It is as if we expect a bad attitude, that's just Denny. Nobody is expecting him to be more like Jesus every day. That's a wild. That's a bad statement. If anybody in this church is that cranky, and we come up to them every Sunday, and they never smile, I'm talking to you. I shake your hand, say hi. Nothing else. Not God bless you. Now, how are you doing? You're just cranky. You never smile. You're not going. Well, many, or maybe more, no one in this church expects him to be able to go. But God said, you need to go or die. Go or die. Is that harsh? Land that drinks in the rain, if you look at the 7th verse in the 6th chapter, it clearly explains it. It said, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. That's the blessing of God. When you receive the rain and you produce something. Now, in the 8th verse, he said, but land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned up. You need to produce or die. You need to go or die. Which are you going to do? Are you going to go? Or are you going to die? Perpetual babies become so hardened that they can't produce anything but thorns and thistles. The scripture calls such person worthless and in danger of being cursed. It goes to the say, in the end, it will be burned. God does not give a warning like that flippantly. And we should not take his warning lightly. A Christian who is not growing is in imminent danger of falling away. This is so important that we need to stop and review for a minute. The writer of Hebrews did two things so we can understand how important it is to grow up. He said, first of all, he used a physical, a psychological technique that is pretty effective. He gets them mad. He said, I have some important things to tell you, Hebrew Christian, but you guys are that mature enough to understand. When the pastor gets up, he says a thing that makes you mad. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm understanding that. I'm mature enough. I'm going enough. You need to check yourself. You never should stop going. I never stop going. I read my Bible all the time. I've been pastoring almost 35 years, retired now for about 4. And I still read my Bible. I'm still going. Amen? I'm still going. After that, Paul said, it gets dead serious. No more humor about babies. He said, the warning is clear. If you won't grow up, you are in danger of falling away. This warning crashes down upon us like thunder and lightning. Now, final thing is how spiritual babies grow. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you, Paul said, to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. If we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We could spend a whole sermon just on those two verses, but I know you need to go home and eat your balsam butt, your baby back rib, your chicken fried barbecue. And so I'll end this. Show your love of God by helping his people. Do that, please. The most amazing shine thing happens to those who quit focusing on self and began to focus on ministry to others. That's what we did when we gave to the love ministry of love. Lunch for love, and we'll sing after others. Be diligent to the very end. I love that. I tell people that some people get so old in the Christianity that they never pick up a word. They sleep through the sermon. They know it all. Don't do that. Don't be a person who feel like they have made it. Paul said, I count not myself to have attained. I'm still trying to get there. And imitate people of great faith and patience. Nothing wrong with that. The next verse go on to give Abraham as a prime example of faith. Because of his faith, God promised Abraham, I will surely bless you and give you many, many descendants. Who are those descendants? You are. I am. This is pretty amazing. But everyone who lives a life of faith is one of the promised descendants of Abraham. It reminds me of that children's song that we used to sing in the Sunday school. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm and you are. Right on, right. Yeah. That's it. Sophia got it. I'm so glad that I got the lineage of Abraham. I got the promise of Abraham. I titled this message, Ready, Set, Grow. Now, ready, set, grow. Write that now. Ready, set, grow. Ready, set, grow. Now, what does that sound like? Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. I want you to understand that you get ready when you get baptized. You get set when you put your membership, your name on the roll of the church. You are ready and you are set. Now what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to what? Go. That's what you are supposed to do. Pull that out for me. I'm going to stand up for this. Whenever you start to run a race, the person who is the starter always says, ready, set, what? Go. Ready, set, go. Now, if somebody running in the race jumps, they go. And in other words, they say, ready, set, and they take off early. That's called a what? A false start. No, they allow you a false start one time. One time. When you are a false start, ready, set, and then you take off, and that's a false start. But the second time, when they say ready, set, go, and you jump the go, then you are disqualified from the race. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm mighty, mighty, mighty glad. You hear me? I'm mighty, mighty, mighty glad that God does not disqualify us when we jump the gun on twice. You can jump the gun two times, three times, four times, five times, many times. He said, get back in the race. Get back in the race. And I'll say, where is that going? And you go too fast, I'll say, get back in the race. Now, I mean, many people who jumped the gun, but God said, get back in the race. I love that. I love that. I love that. Give God some praise. God is like the starter. He said, get ready, get set, and go. Now, if you don't go, he doesn't disqualify you. He said, he keeps saying, get back in the race, Roosevelt. Go to Sunday school, Roosevelt. Go to Sunday school, Whitman. Go there. I'm calling these people names who go to Sunday school. I ain't offending nobody who doesn't go. But I'm saying you need to get ready, get set, and what? Now, let's say it again. Get ready, get set, and go. I'm so glad that God allowed me to go. I grew as a child. From 10 years old, I got ready. I got ready. And then I joined Macedonia and Baton Rouge. I got set. But I got something else that I had on through. At 17 years old, without knowing anything about the Holy Ghost, I was showered with the Holy Ghost. That's a good old keeping power. Good old, you don't know anything about that. That's good old keeping mouth. That's a keeping mouth. That will keep you in the race. When the race gets hard, when the thunder and the lightning are blasting in your life, you need to get the Holy Ghost. How about that? You need to get the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost. How about that? You can die without the Holy Ghost. But you have the Holy Ghost, you can live forever. You're not ever disqualified. You hang on in there. Hang on in there, Hopewell. Get ready, get set, and go. Thank you.